So over the last few months, I've noticed a trend developing in meetings that I've been in, especially those that involve my ministry beyond our walls. So this is not true of meetings here, but it's true in meetings that I have elsewhere. And often at some point in the meeting, we start talking about the present state of things, what's going on in the world around us, the state of the church, and all those sorts of things. And when asked to describe this moment, I find that the words being shared typically have a negative sense to them. I'll give you an example. In mid-September, the clergy all gathered together for a clergy day. It was part of our safe church renewal, something we do every 3 years. And during our session, the speaker was talking about recovery cycles from emotional trauma. It started by talking about what happens after natural disasters, and that was being extrapolated to after the trauma of pandemic. And in the midst of that, the presenter said to the clergy, "How would you describe this time?" Now, it's probably not surprising that clergy are not the shyest bunch in the world, so pretty instantly, people start yelling things out, and you hear words like fear, anxiety, uncertainty, violence, distrust, all pretty negative things. And as I was sitting there doodling on my paperwork, as everybody who pays a lot of attention to things does, I found the words I thought of were different. Now, I don't want to diminish the feelings of my colleagues, because let's be real, these have not been the easiest couple of years. There is plenty of fear and anxiety, and those are good feelings that are important and valid, and at times, important for us to recognize and just to feel. But in that moment, I actually found myself saying, this time, I think, is a time of hope, a time of opportunity and possibility. Because what we're seeing is the way we've always done things isn't working so well anymore. And that is something, when the comfortable habits of life don't work as much anymore, that does create fear and anxiety, because uncertainty isn't easy. But I found myself thinking, but that's an opportunity. Because that's a moment when things aren't working as they used to, we got to try something new. And that's a way for God to be calling us to something new and different in this time. So since that clergy day, I've been thinking a lot about it. So why is it that I was able to shift that focus and have that more positive spin? I don't think it's the naivete of my youth, because I might be the most curmudgeonly priest we have in this diocese. You all laughed way too easily at that. But the more I thought about it, I think the reason why I could see hope in this time of uncertainty is because of all of you and the ministry which we share. Think about what we've done together in the last 2.5 years. We've launched major initiatives. We've begun to name the truth and reality of our history. We're naming the reality and taking on huge initiatives like working for anti-racism and the full inclusion of all people. Honestly naming our history and the way we've participated in systems of violence and oppression, and educating ourselves so that we can do better going forward. We're partnering with other churches in the diocese in this effort. We've launched a Church Mouse thrift shop that not only has been an amazing fundraiser for the parish, but it's doing profound outreach for our community and helping us build relationships with refugee families as they're starting a new life here. We've done amazing and wonderful things together in a time of deep uncertainty and challenge. And never once did we say, this is too hard, we're packing it up and calling it a day. We said, the world said to us, well, I've got a challenge for you. And we said, challenge accepted, bring it on. And we have risen to that occasion. The deeper I think about this, of what gives hope and promise to this moment, the more I realize what it is we do today is the bedrock and foundation for that. Today, we celebrate All Saints Day. Today is the Sunday after All Saints Day, All Saints Day falling on November 1st. And thanks to a permissive rubric in the prayer book, we can keep All Saints Day today. Fun fact, this is the only holy day which that is true for. Because even Christmas, which we celebrate Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, services are different. Different readings. Easter Vigil, radically different than Easter morning, but different readings. But today, we have the same readings that we had on November 1st. We get to do this day twice. That's how important it is. It's one of the 7 most important days on our church calendar, and one of 4 that are especially appropriate for baptism. And it's All Saints Day that gives hope. And we see that in two ways this morning. We see it in our gospel reading, and we see it in baptism. Now, All Saints Day is that day when we celebrate the saints of the church, the big letter saints, right? The people on the calendar, St. Thomas and St. Luke and St. Mark and St. Sebastian and St. Jonathan Meyer Daniels and all the saints on the calendar of the church. Those ordinary people who have done heroic and extraordinary things. Now, when we read in Scripture, when they talk about the saints of the church, that means all of us. But in the church, on our calendar, we talk about Saints Day, it's those big name saints. Those people who lived times of uncertainty, of scarcity, of fear, and they said, that's not going to stop me because there is a hope to which we have been called. And they live into that hope that God has placed before them. When we look at the lives of the saints, what we see is an image of the kingdom of God that's expressed in Luke's gospel, what we heard today. Now, those words may have sounded familiar to some of you. They're known as the Beatitudes, but here's another fun fact for you. The Beatitudes most people think of are actually from Matthew's Gospel, Sermon on the Mount. This is Luke, Sermon on the Plain. And just like is true with Luke's Gospel, where everything is about that great reversal, about finding those who are the outcasts, those who are on the margins, and bringing them in, welcoming them fully into the community, these Beatitudes have a different feel. You know, so in Matthew we hear, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. But in Luke, blessed are those who are hungry now, for theirs is the kingdom. There's something real and physical about these Beatitudes we hear in Luke. And they are powerful. Because what these Beatitudes say is, if you are suffering now, if you are hurting now, if you are struggling now, hold on, because there is hope. Blessed are you. But then Luke takes it a step further, because, you know, Luke's all about that great reversal. So if we got blessings over here, that means there's a reckoning which is coming, and then we get those woes. And I don't know about any of you, but maybe you too felt a little woeful this morning, you know. Woe to you who are full now. I mean, clearly I'm quite full now, and after church we're baking some apple pies today, so, you know, but it's that recognizing of, right, there is a reversal, and something is coming that's going to disrupt the systems and foundations which we know. Systems which often put some up on a pedestal at the expense of others. So these are big things, these blessings and woes that come together. And then Jesus says, all right, like, listen up, friends. That's not a direct quote, but, you know, he says something like, those of you who have ears to listen, you know, it's Jesus. Jesus says, listen, here's what you got to do. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute. Give to those who ask. And then that golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I want to say, see, simple, easy things, but let's be honest. Like loving your enemy, not so easy. Praying for those who persecute you, that's a challenge. That's hard, right? But this is what Jesus says. This is that life you're called to live. That's what the saints do. And that is what we are called to do as well. And the other thing that gives me hope, what we're going to do in just a few minutes, is baptism. And it is baptism which allows us to do those hard and difficult things of loving our enemies, of praying for those who persecute us, of doing unto others as we would wish they would do unto us. Baptism is the very foundation of our faith. It is our entrance into the household of God. Now, let me be clear. God does not love Madison and Ryan less right now than God will in like 10 minutes. That's not quite how this works. God loves everyone. As the psalmist says, God loves us while we were still in our mother's wombs. But there is something different that will happen for Madison and Ryan today. Their beings will change. They will soon share in the priesthood of all believers. They will die to death and be raised to new life in Christ. As they go through these waters which Jesus himself has shared, they will share in his death and his resurrection as well. But before we do the water washing, since they can't really speak for themselves quite yet, although Ryan's being especially vocal this morning, their parents and godparents will make some promises on their behalf. Promises that many of us have made and reaffirmed countless times. Promises to continue in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and the prayers. Promising to continue in this tradition of ours of worshiping together, of praying together, of supporting one another and lifting each other up. They'll promise to say, yeah, when we get it wrong, we're gonna find our way back to the path of God, because nobody's perfect. They're going to promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons. They're going to promise to love their enemies, to pray for and love and seek God in those who they disagree with, those whom they don't like, those who are opposite them in every way imaginable. They're going to promise to strive for justice and peace. And my friends, that's not some pie-in-the-sky sort of thing. That is about fighting for real systemic change, that this world might look like the way God intended it to be from the very beginning of creation. They're going to promise to do everything in their power to live into the hope to which that they have been called, to be saints, just like those saints of the church of generations past. As we rejoice this day, as two new people are welcomed into the household of God, I hope we can see the possibility that is in this moment, in the flourishing and developing of new lives, of new ministries, of new relationships. And as the world around us continues in increasing amounts of chaos between election cycles and projected more waves of pandemic and bad flu and cold seasons and inflation and whatever else nonsense is going to come our way, I hope we can see that and say, yeah, there might be some uncertainty there. Yeah, there could be fear. There could be anxiety. But none of that holds a candle to what we have, because we have hope. And through that hope, we have possibility and opportunity. And if these last years have taught us anything, it's going to be one heck of a ride that Ryan and Madison are joining us in this day. Because God's up to something big here, and I can't wait to see what happens next. Amen.
Amen.